The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey, this is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we're back. Episode 41, Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast.
Hey, everyone. My name is Matthew McCabe.
And I'm Steve Anderson.
We are the hosts of the Youth Ministry Sherpas. We're helping youth workers to keep going.
How's it going, man?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Episode 41. We are going to drop this episode at the end of January.
Yeah.
Right about the time most people ditch their New Year's resolution or are off the wagon or off the train.
Yeah. You know, have you made it 29 days ever on any of your resolutions?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably some version of them, but there's always an adjustment. Even this one, you know, I had this goal. I try not to call it a resolution because it feels so cliche, but I had this goal of drinking more water.
Okay.
I'm a Diet Coke fan. I drink Diet Coke from sunup to sundown. And
you're such a Diet Coke fan that I go out to eat with you, and if they serve Pepsi products, you're like, you're out of your element. You don't know what to do.
Oh, no, I do. I know most restaurants that serve Pepsi products, and I will bring in Diet Coke. You've noticed it. When we eat at Buffalo Wild Wings, what do I do?
It's so freaking embarrassing.
I bring in Diet Coke. Hey, look, I want a good lunch. Anyway, that's my obsession with Diet Coke.
You can't go to Taco Bell, can you?
No, I haven't eaten a Taco Bell in over 25 years.
Pizza Hut?
No. I don't do any of them. There's too many other options that have Diet Coke products.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wait. I'm sorry. I got to press in here.
Why do you have to press in here?
Because I need to know. What is the difference?
Oh, it's a huge difference. Steve, I'm embarrassed that you're even asking the question.
I'm sorry. First of all, I don't drink diet soda.
Okay.
I don't drink much soda at all anymore, but I've never liked diet soda. But I swear, I think if I was given both, I don't think I could tell the difference.
You could tell the difference. I promise you could tell the difference. You wouldn't like either one of them, but you would know the difference. We're down a trail here. Let's come back. My goal was to drink more water, less Diet Coke. You know, I mean, I'm not giving it up.
Okay.
That was never on the table.
Absolutely.
But we're eating down. So I had this goal of drinking 150 ounces of water a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 150. That was the goal. 150 ounces a day.
Wow.
And I figured that will automatically limit my Diet Coke intake because that's a lot of water to drink. That lasted about 5 days. 150 is pretty significant.
I try to drink 72. I have this cup right here.
Okay.
And it holds, 24?
Okay.
So three of those
and you're
done.
Is
72, and I have one of these at home, too.
Yeah.
150, though. That's six of these.
That's crazy.
Anyway,
I've ratcheted back. Now the goal is somewhere between 110 and 120. Still a lot, but I'm there. But I'm telling you what, man, as my body adjusts, I am wearing a path from my office to the bathroom.
I thought you were going to say wearing a diaper.
No. Well, I thought about that. Even in the middle of the night, like I woke up the other night and I was like, I can't believe I haven't went to bed yet. I had to go to the bathroom so bad. It was so embarrassing.
Are you sure you didn't?
I cannot confirm or deny. No, okay. I did not. But
yeah,
so
that's a lot of water.
You know, coming up to the end of January here, and already we're adjusting the plan. Now, you had some.
Do you feel better?
I feel great. Yeah, I feel a lot better.
Okay.
It's huge. And my Diet Coke is way down. I'm still having it and loving it, but I have it much less because I got to hit the water to get to my goal.
Good for you.
Now, you had some goals for the new year, this hot tub every night at 9:45.
We call it the HTA, hot tub appointment.
Hot tub appointment.
Karen and I.
Yep.
We're doing pretty well.
Shutting social media down and kind of clearing your mind and getting in there.
Spending time with God at the end of the day and then going to the hot tub with Karen and then going to bed and getting a good night's sleep.
How goes that?
It's going pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
We've missed some nights, you know. Because life gets to you, but
sure.
No, we're doing it tonight, and got the plans, and got the hot tub heating up. We're going to be good.
Good. How's the hot tub treating your skin?
It's great for the soul. It's great for the spirit. It's great for relationships. It's really bad for your skin because it dehydrates your skin.
It dries out.
Yeah, and if you wear too much lotion in the hot tub, it gets into the water and it makes it harder to keep the water filtrated properly. So you're not supposed to wear lotion, but the hot tub itself dehydrates you. So it's a real catch 22.
Yeah,
it's a real, problem. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? But, it's tough life there, Steve.
I know. It's a struggle.
That's the thing I have. I mean, for me, you know, drinking more water, hydrate myself. Mm-hmm. I like Diet Coke. Diet Coke is a dehydrant.
You know, is it?
Absolutely. So, yeah.
So is my coffee. Yeah.
There's a little catch 22 there. And so, you know, but trying to stay a little stronger on the hydration side, a little less of the stuff that dehydrates, which is a Diet Coke.
Because your body will function better.
And it has been functioning much better.
Good. So,
kind of brings us to our topic of the day, our third part in our burnout, fall down, dry up series. Mm-hmm. How not to dry up.
We want to talk about how to stay hydrated this year and not be dehydrated, because we think that's a much healthier way to live, and it kind of applies to our life as youth workers and husbands, wives, fathers, mothers.
Absolutely.
Friends.
And yeah. It just applies across the board. How do we stay more hydrated? So what are the things that dehydrate? Let's start negative, and then we'll kind of maybe shift to positive. What are some of the things that can dehydrate us in this life?
I think the number one thing that dehydrates me personally, and I think it's different for different people, have different struggles, certainly. But for me, in my own spiritual life, the thing that dehydrates me the most is probably just wasting time in distracted activities. Social media, spending too much time on Facebook, Instagram, spending too much time reading the sports page, getting too worked up about Steeler football games.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting things that aren't really that important and are more of a distraction kind of consume time. And when I do that, then I feel rushed to accomplish the important things that I've left. And it just throws everything off. So yeah. I feel dehydrated when I've wasted a lot of time and then look back and feel guilty that I wasn't more intentional and spending that time with God or really developing my spiritual life.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. Because, again, it's the idea that none of those things are bad things.
No, of course not.
I love watching television. I love being on social media and catching up on other people's lives. That's all great.
It's part of being a good youth worker,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. But I definitely can find myself filling more time than I should with those things and then realizing and then regretting it and feeling it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's a struggle for
that's
me.
That's one of the things that dehydrates me or that sort of puts me off kilter is unresolved conflict.
Okay.
You know, when I have got some kind of issue going on with someone or some group of people, whether it's because of something I did or said or whether it's because of something they did or said, if it's not resolved, man, that just sort of dries me up and kind of puts me in not a great place. I get to be a little ornery and a little grumpy. Mm-hmm. And so I don't love conflict. Mm-hmm. That's not my favorite thing. But I need to know that. I need to be better at sort of working at resolving those conflicts, because that unresolved conflict, it drives me up, man.
I feel like you're better at that than I am, because you're more direct than I am. I'm an avoider. But no, I totally understand what you're saying, because when there's conflict with somebody of my own making, or often not of my own making, there's this like pit in my stomach, and I find it hard to just feel close to the Lord and feel like I'm, you know, healthy spiritually, because my mind plays the record over and over again in conflict. Does that happen to you?
Oh, absolutely. See, I totally understand what you're saying, because you say you think I'm better than you at that. And maybe I am a little better. I don't know. But what you see is the outside. You don't see the internal dialogue that goes on in my mind. You don't see how long I've avoided it. You see the directness, because when I finally do get around to resolving the conflict, I tend to be very direct about it. I want to just, because I've spent so much time thinking and worrying about it, that I just want it to be over. So I'm not going to, you know, kind of take the end around. I'm going right down the middle.
Okay.
So that's what you see. But no, I'm with you. During that time that I'm avoiding, or during that time that I'm wrestling with it, it inhibits my relationship with God, and I start to dry up a little bit.
Yeah. Another thing that I think can dehydrate us is not being grateful, not living a practice of gratitude in our lives. Do you feel that way sometimes?
Yeah, because when you're not grateful, you can find all kinds of things to nitpick about.
Yeah,
it's usually one of my children, or my wife, or somebody close
to
me that will point out the, you know, oh yeah, what I mean, almost what we were just talking about before, you know, what a terrible life you have, Steve, having to figure out how not to dry your skin up because you have a hot tub. Like, how many people in the world have a hot tub, right? And so, yeah, when you don't have that attitude of gratitude, then you can allow those annoyances and those frustrations to take a little bit more of a forefront. And yeah, and I know when I'm frustrated and angry and annoyed that I'm not in a good place. That's a dry place.
Yeah, because when you're all dried up, the slightest thing can set the spark, you know, to light the fire. And that's kind of the way it is. When you're dried up spiritually, you just get in a place where you're complaining about everything and people are annoying you.
Easily annoyed by somebody.
And that just doesn't go well. So I think something that I'm been really trying to improve at and doing better with the last few years is just being grateful about my circumstances, about just all the blessings. I mean, I should be very grateful, but it's just easy to fall into a spirit of kind of like, I'm a whiner and a complainer. So that's another thing.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said there is you're trying to be more intentional about being more grateful because you know that when you're not, that it kind of dries you up. Mm-hmm. And so that's the flip side of this. So if those are the things that dehydrate us, what are the things that hydrate us, right? What are the things that keep us from drying up so that we're in a better place spiritually, better place emotionally, just in a better place so that we can serve, you know, I mean, that scripture is going over and over in my head that you serve from an overflow. My cup overflows, and therefore then my joy is just spilling over. So how do we get to that place of being overhydrated so that we're leading in youth ministry and we're leading in our families from a place of overflow rather than this dry, scratchy, ornery place?
Overflow rather than overwork.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So what are some things that hydrate? And how do we stay hydrated as youth leaders?
Let's talk first just about a few really simple practical things. And then I'd like to talk about some spiritual rhythms because I think that's kind of the deeper level. A couple practical things for youth workers. One is to continually be trying new things. You know, we've been doing this for way too long.
A long time.
And it's easy to just kind of come back to the same old curriculum, the same old lessons we've done, the same old series, the same games, the same flow to the night. And I think it's good to just completely change it up.
Yeah.
And come up with some new stuff.
The whole idea of recycling, I get.
It's good.
I totally get because there are some messages I'd like to do again and make them better. But, well, you can get caught in a rut and hurry where, because it's easier. It is a little bit easier, right?
Sure.
To just sort of recycle, like, well, this worked great 2 years ago. Let's do it again.
I've done our fall retreat now 18 times. So it's much easier the 18th time because we've done it so many times.
Yeah.
But we got to keep making it fresh.
Right. We got to find ways to look at it like it's the first time we're doing
it. Yeah. Bring something, for the kids, it is.
Yeah. Bring something new, something fresh to it. Because I know that if I just recycle something, even if I add a little something new to it and I kind of dust it off and I edit it a little bit, but it's still recycled, I don't bring the same energy to that than I do something that's fresh and new.
Right.
And right there. So I know that I could do a better job of, you know, not getting stuck in that rut of recycling and just looking at things new and looking at like it's the first time that I'm doing it. Yeah, get that perspective of the student who it is their first time.
I'm sure that there are some folks listening to this who are like, oh, it is my first time, and I'm trying to figure out how to get through the first year, first couple years of this. Totally cool. Like,
you're in a great place.
If you need to borrow, steal, beg from other people, do it. And if you need to pull out something you've already done to get through the week because you're a part-time youth worker or a volunteer youth worker, by all means, please use whatever means you can to get through the week. We totally get that. I think what we're talking about is just a repeated pattern over a significant amount of time we need to continue to reinvent ourselves a little bit and be fresh in that way.
Yep. Another practical thing that we can do is we can visit other churches mm-hmm. when we have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You get caught up in your own church. And again, I love my church. Mm-hmm. And I would go to my church even if I didn't work there because I love my church. I would.
I might even go to your church.
And I've gone to your church before.
I love your church. Yeah, you were there last summer. I appreciate that.
But to get different perspectives and to see things new and different, mm-hmm. to be inspired by new ideas. So when you have an opportunity, you know, duck out, which I know is difficult.
Sure.
Because we often have responsibilities on a Sunday, so it's harder to get away. But when there is opportunity to take it and go.
I would even say a lot of churches have policies, you know, you can only miss 2 Sundays a year, 4 Sundays a year. I've seen that discussion on different Facebook groups and stuff. And I get that. Maybe we don't have the power to change that. But if we do have a voice in that, it would be worthwhile to speak at leadership level and say, you know, it would be good for our leaders if they actually were given the time to go see another church. Like that's all, you're still going to church. It's not like you're bailing on God, but you're seeing something different. That could be really helpful.
It could be helpful for not you as an individual, but even for your church.
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually going to try to do that this year. Now that we have multiple services and stuff, I don't have to be at all the services. I could go see some other churches and still make it to our church on a weekend. And I'm going to try to do that and see what I can learn from the way things are going elsewhere.
Yep.
So, that's good. Another thing that I personally do, I think we deal with this differently, but we have the same goal. You like to watch shows.
I do.
Right? It helps you relax.
Yep.
But it also gives you like narratives to tell. It gives you ideas when you're preaching, teaching, analogies to draw, life situations,
stories, yep.
Right? I do the same thing from shows I watch and from books I read. And so I try to read like all kinds of stuff. I've noticed a lot of youth leaders have book reading goals for the year, and I think that's awesome, and I totally support that. Read as much as you can. I would just say, I think it's really wise and worthwhile to read stuff that has nothing to do with the church or youth ministry. Is that fair to say?
I think it's a great thing to say. There is so much out there that's good to read on ministry, on youth ministry,
absolutely.
On ministry in general. You could read books forever and not get to the bottom of it. But there's also some great novels out there, and there's some great books on history, and there's there's just good stuff out there.
When you're teaching regularly, you need to tell stories. You need to draw analogies to culture and life and history and the future, whatever. And you got to find sources for those. And for me, it's often stuff I've read. My wife will look at me like, you read the most interesting books. I never would have thought to read that. I'm like, hey, it looks good. If it's not good, I won't finish it. But if it is good,
you're better off.
They show up in my sermons. Random stories show up in my sermons that are just fascinating that you can draw a spiritual analogy to or an illustration. So, you know, the more we consume of good stuff, the more illustrative we're able to be when we're teaching. And I think that helps keep us fresh.
Keeps you fresh for sure.
Yeah.
I know one of the things that's helpful for me, and I don't know if it's just me, but we talked about this offline and I think you think it too, is to develop relationships outside of mm-hmm. the church, mm-hmm. to get outside of the bubble, you know, and especially in our line of work, boy, we can fill up every mm-hmm. day and every minute with people from the church because they're good people and they're people we like. And
sure.
We like mostly, and it's people we like hanging around.
Yeah.
But it's definitely its own culture.
It is.
And it's different from the rest of the culture in a lot of ways. And so I think we can dry up if we're not being intentional about pursuing relationships outside the church, just to have them and to know what else is happening out there and to get different perspectives.
Have similar your faith challenged a little bit.
Absolutely.
I mean, your work with the football team, FCA and all of that has been fantastic. Like you have all these relationships that have nothing to do with church. They're not just a means to an end.
No,
it's
not
like
all.
You're trying to get all these people to come to your church.
No.
But you have influence in their lives. But even more than that, you just are aware there's what's going on in the world around me.
Sure.
You know, in the average life of a teenager at this high school, it's good to know that.
It's good to know that. And honestly, I'm challenged by that often.
Sure.
You know, I'll run across people that are doing things that I'm not doing. And I think, wait, why am I not doing that? That's, I mean, you know, so
yeah,
pursuing relationships outside the church, I think that helps keep us fresh.
When my wife went back to teach public school, you know, walking back into public school and working with a lot of people who aren't believers just challenged her faith a lot. And she loves it. She thrives in that environment where people don't all believe what she believes, and she has great conversations with folks and builds relationships. Like, that's just, that's definitely good for her spiritual life.
Keeps it alive. I love it.
Great, great. So, got some good things there on the practical side. But I thought we could maybe close up this episode by wrestling with some of the kind of the deeper spiritual rhythms that I think set us up. And this could probably be a whole episode, but, you know, this past summer, you were able to take a sabbatical.
I was. It was glorious.
And you shared on the last episode or the one before about how you were feeling a little bit burnt out leading into that.
A little dried up.
A little dried up. And probably because of some of the things we identified.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you're hydrating your body with water. What did you learn from your sabbatical about hydrating your spirit in a way that you hadn't encountered before?
Probably the biggest thing I took away from the summer was the idea of being unhurried. I'm a pretty driven person. I'm a goal-oriented person. I like to check things off a list. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of guy who, if I do something and it wasn't on my list, I put it on my list. So I can check it off. That's just my personality. And so what I realized this summer when I was on sabbatical, this summer and fall, was that I had so much more time, obviously. And so as I was reading in the scriptures, I wasn't in a hurry because I had time. And I was like, this is different. Mm. Like, this is better. I think I was reading almost as a checklist item. Mm. And so I needed to get a certain length. I was trying to accomplish something and knock something out, read the Bible in a year or the New Testament in a month or whatever the program out there was. But it wasn't, there was no time for it to sort of get past the fact that I read it. Didn't get to my heart, didn't get to my soul.
It's almost like the Bible was a syllabus you're trying to complete rather than a book that you're trying to let get into your heart. And
yeah, exactly. And then on sabbatical, it was just this like, almost like the brakes went on and I just slowed down. And then that's flowed out of that sort of into a new rhythm for me now that I'm even back to the grind, back to work, where I'm not reading for this checkmark box. I'm trying to be a lot slower and allowing what I'm reading to penetrate much further than it ever did before and get inside my heart and soul. And that's refreshing. Before, reading the Bible wasn't all that refreshing. It was sort of another checklist on the day's to-dos, and now it's
your Christian duty.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And now it's a little bit more of like a cold drink of water on a hot summer night.
That sounds great.
You know, and it's refreshing. So that changed the game for me.
That's really good.
To keep me a little more fresh. What about you? There's some things you've learned over the years or even recently.
Yeah. One thing that I learned a few years ago, started doing, I learned it on my sabbatical 7 years ago, which I'm about to get another one this summer.
I know, it's coming.
I know. Was to journal. I'd never journaled faithfully before. I love to write, but I'd never journaled on a regular basis, and I started to do that. It takes different forms of what I'm journaling about, but it's often based on the scripture that I've just read. And so it makes you slow down because I copy a verse or a couple verses, and I go back and write some questions I have as I read that or thoughts I have, and just makes me slow down and kind of invest in that passage more. That's been hugely helpful to me. I would recommend that if you're that kind of person, you want to go, you know, you like to write things down and kind of reflect, that's a great way to go. Another thing I think we mentioned in the last episode is just, I'm trying to flip my day and night.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's cool though. So I'm doing my devotions in the evening right before bed and waking up kind of
to go.
Joining God in what he's already doing. I think some of the ancient church fathers said, and I think that's kind of my attitude. I'm trying to go to bed with God and wake up
ready to go. Rhythm,
ready to go.
And I think that is the point, Steve, though, is I think it's easy to fall into these traps of what it should look like. Mm-hmm. But what it should look like is whatever works. Mm-hmm. I mean, every one of us is different. Some of the people listening to this mm-hmm. are never going to journal because mm-hmm. for them, that wouldn't help at all. It wouldn't hydrate them necessarily. Mm-hmm. And for some, morning is the time for them to read, not
absolutely.
8 o'clock at night.
That's
because
my wife.
Too tired. Oh, yeah, my wife would never do it in the evening as done. Well.
She's
done.
She's done by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, so for the listeners, for all of us, it's we have to be intentional. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out what are the spiritual practices, what are the rhythms that we can get in that actually hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can drink Diet Coke all day and not be hydrated. I switch over and drink water, I'm hydrated.
Right.
I could read 4 chapters in the morning and 4 chapters at night because I'm trying to accomplish this goal by the end of the week. It may not hydrate me. I could read 2 paragraphs and spend a half an hour just sitting there in quiet thinking about them. That hydrates. You got to figure out what it is, and then you got to stay after it.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of wisdom to be learned from other people in this, too, because there's all kinds of different practices that people have. You know, I have some friends who really practice some cool contemplative things like what's it called? Lectio Divina.
Lectio Divina, yep.
And daily prayer.
Daily
certain
prayer.
Certain times. You've experienced some of that, right?
Yeah. The Celtic daily prayer from the Northumbria community in England sort of infiltrated our family for a season. And some of the things that we used to read every morning and recite every morning, we haven't done it in 3 or 4 years because our rhythms as a family changed. But I can still, without seeing it on paper, I can say those prayers. It's all still there, which is a really cool thing. I've done the Divine Hours for a little while.
Cool.
You know, and through seasons, I think we'll change.
Yeah.
So we got to be ready to change because something might be refreshing and hydrating today. And then in a year, maybe it's not as much. All right, well, what's something else I can try?
Try something new.
There's so many different ways.
And we're just scratching the surface in this conversation. And there's people listening, I'm sure, that are way farther down the path on this than we are. And, you know, we can find those voices and try to learn from them. But the point is, find what works for you. Change it up on occasion. Try something new. And get hydrated.
Get hydrated. Because if you dry up, it's just as bad as burning out, and it's just as bad as falling down.
They're all connected.
They are all connected, and they will all keep us mm-hmm. from being here this time next year, or maybe this time 10 years from now or 20 years from now. All of these things are the enemy of longevity in youth ministry.
Just think about the term drying up and what it really feels like and sounds like in. You know, it's brittle and fragile.
I have this picture in my head of like
crumbling.
Just this dry, cracked ground that if you step on it, it just disintegrates under your foot, basically.
Yeah, or your hands are all dried and cracked in the winter, you know. It's just not cool
Not great word pictures there.
They aren't.
But that's if we're not careful and if we're not intentional.
That's what our spirit looks like.
That's exactly what we're going to look like. And we might be able to fake it for a little while and be able to just kind of work our way through it. But I think long term, it's just no way we're going to make it to the finish line.
Yeah.
Wherever that finish line is for you, which we hope is 20, 30, 40 years in the future, if we burn up, if we fall down, or if we dry up, we won't make it.
We want to see you here next year, man.
We do.
We want to see you thriving in youth ministry 6 months from now. 12 months from now, 12 years from now, if we have healthy youth workers who are well hydrated, who are not going to burn out, who aren't going to fall down, who aren't going to dry up, the state of youth ministry and our ability to change a generation for Christ is going to be dramatically improved.
Absolutely. So grab yourself a big, tall glass of ice water and maybe a notebook and a pen and sit down and start intentionally thinking about what are the things that dehydrate me and my spirit, and what are the things that hydrate me? And then, again, work on more of the things that hydrate, less of the things that dehydrate. 120 ounces of water, maybe 1 or 2 Diet Cokes every other day.
Is it really bad that I always have my time with God with coffee? Because that's very dehydrating.
it's kind of ironic, but I don't think it's
actually,
I don't
now
think
that
it's
I'm
bad.
Doing it in the evening, it's not coffee
it's
anymore.
It's not coffee it's, anymore, is it?
Yeah. It might be a beverage related to the grape, but maybe.
But, you know, whatever. Yeah. Which actually I think is more biblical. So hopefully.
But it does wake you up in the middle of the night, by the way.
I'm sure it
when
does.
When you're my age. Yes. But it's worth it.
Yeah. So hopefully these last three episodes have been helpful to you. Maybe kind of a wake-up call to say I got to be careful so that I don't burn out, so that I don't fall down. Give you some practical things to stay hydrated and stay fresh and be in youth ministry for the long term.
And if you want to interact with us about these things, we'd love to have that conversation. Reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook and, you know, share your struggles. We'd love to get a community gathered around this subject and see if we can help one another so that we can make it.
Yeah, and if you have some practices that you are tried and true and work on avoiding burnout, on not falling down, on that we didn't cover, jump on there and share it, please. We'd love to see that.
Yep. So that wraps up episode 41. We're really excited about episode 42.
42 is going to be epic.
We don't want to say too much yet, just in case we haven't recorded it yet, but we have this fantastic idea. We want to make sure it's actually
going to
happen.
And if it plays out, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. So tune in next week to see if our amazing idea actually played out.
Yes.
Until then, Sherpas out.